three lessons of good news. Good news. Joseph in Egypt, having risen to the highest ranks, is now able to welcome his brothers and his father into the house of prosperity, even in the midst of famine. They never saw it coming. These are the brothers, you remember, who beat him up, sold him into slavery, tore up his coat of many colors, and covered it in sheep's blood, and took it back to his father, and said, "A lion has gotten a hold of Joseph." Well, never mind that lions don't live in that region. It made for a good story. But that's not really the story. God is seldom done with his people just in the snap of a finger. We all know the story, how he went into Egypt, how he was sold there. He was a slave. He made it up into middle management, and then Pharaoh's wife accused him of sexual indiscretion, and back into prison he went. And once again, he started interpreting dreams, and he rose again far into Pharaoh's household and became the vizier of Egypt, lord of all the lands save Pharaoh. And he was able to bring his brothers and his father into that place of hospitality. Good news. God takes what seems on the surface to be tragedy and has a way of turning it into blessing. In the same way, in our epistle lesson for today, Paul answers the question which has echoed down through the centuries: will the Jews go to hell? Yes, people still ask that. They don't read Paul's letters very closely, do they? Has God forsaken his people? Of course not. God is not in the business of unchoosing the chosen. The Jews are still the people of the covenant. And truth be told, much to the despair of many within the Christian community, we are the heirs of the Jewish faith. We are the New Testament expression of Judaism. We are just the people who read the back of the book. Yeah, think about that for a second. Unless you're reading it in Hebrew, in which case it's the front of the book. Well, good news. God does not unchoose the chosen. And nothing they can do will remove the love of God from them. And then in our gospel lesson for today, good news. Jesus and the disciples have gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon. In case you didn't know, that's outside the parameters of Orthodox Judaism in that day. They are in the land of the Canaanites. You remember the Canaanites from the Old Testament. They're the ones who regularly whooped up on the Hebrews, and the Hebrews returned the favor by whooping up on them. And so there was still a degree of animosity, kind of like the North and the South still feel about the Civil War. Some people date civilization from the end of the Civil War. My grandparents were some of those. Granddaddy could not stand anybody from the North. He took the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal just to read the obituaries. That's a man who doesn't like Yankees. Thankfully, we are moving beyond those days of animosity. Most of us. They're in the land of the foreigners. And here comes a Canaanite woman who acknowledges Jesus as Lord. How can she do that? How did she even hear about Jesus? What does she think about this prophet from Galilee and Jerusalem and Nazareth, coming now into the foreign land, the land of the Auslanders. How does she know the first thing about him? And I've got an answer for you, and that answer is desperation. Desperation is a very fine motivator for opening the borders of our minds and examining possibilities we never knew could be possible. And she comes up to Jesus and she's crying after him, Son of David. Now that is a title. That is a title no Canaanite would ever allow to pass their lips. But here, out of desperation, she does. Son of David, Lord, my daughter is ill with a demon. And Jesus doesn't answer her a word. Jesus is fully God, but also fully human. I do not pretend to know the mind of God nor the mind of Jesus. But were I in the place of Jesus, I might have reacted the same way. You're not one of mine. You're a Canaanite. You live on the other side of the tracks. I'm not called to minister to you. I'm called to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not time for you yet. Go away. It may never be time, but she keeps on. Oh, the disciples are mad. They are ticked off. Here's this woman screaming after them. Maybe she's the one with the demon. We can't tell, but Lord, send her away. And instead, he turns to her and he says, it's not right to take children's food from the table and give it to the dogs. And she's not about to be deterred. This woman has what is known in Yiddish as chutzpah, incipient vomiting, okay? She has guts. And she comes right back at him and says, yes, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. She's saying here, I don't need a lot. I just need a little bit. I need just a crumb of grace to heal my daughter and all will be well. And Jesus admires her. She's not giving up. She is not giving up. Why not? Well, first of all, she's got a daughter she's terribly worried about. But second of all, I suspect that she knows it's not right to settle for less when you're designed for more. Let me repeat that. It's not right to settle for less when you are designed for more. Jesus grants her request. But it goes far beyond just the simple exorcising of a demon. In granting her request, Jesus brightens and blesses her entire life. You see, God's grace is never just a pebble in a pond. There are always ripples that go out far beyond it. Radioactive grace, you might call it. There's always more than just the miracle itself. She was willing to settle for less, but she was designed for so much more. Let me suggest that the same is true of us. We will often settle for just a crumb of grace when God has designed us for so much more. Our destinies lie out there in the future. And the one thing I can promise you is that there are miracles out there that you will not perceive, but will be there nonetheless, because you were designed for more than just making it from today to tomorrow. And because of that, we dare, like that Canaanite woman, to come before Jesus, to come before God, to implore the Holy Spirit, Lord, use me as you would, because I am designed for more. Help me not to settle for less. These are three of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. Good news on all fronts. And today, in this climate, we need good news. We need joy. We need laughter. We need a sense of perspective to put history in its proper setting. We do not need to be anxious of what's going to happen this week, next year. We do not need to be anxious about the political warfare that is going on. We need to settle ourselves that we are designed for more than just making it through the next season. We are designed to be creatures created by God, fulfilling God's destiny for us. What's that destiny going to be? I have no idea. Joseph had no idea when he was beaten up and sold into slavery what the future would hold. But when the future came, he grasped it and sensed that God was already there, hard at work. Saul of Tarsus had no idea what the future was going to hold as he was persecuting the early church. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of his trip, Jesus interrupted his itinerary and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He never saw that coming, but it came. The Canaanite woman who woke up that morning, doubtless tearful and afraid of what was happening with her daughter, had no idea what would really happen when she went up to this itinerant prophet from the other side of the tracks. But she did know, if I don't try, I know nothing will happen. We are people of faith. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know we dare not settle for less when we are designed for more. And so we go out of this place with courage and faith and hope, and yes, maybe even a bit of laughter. You know what Martin Luther said? When Christians laugh, the devil flees. I like that, particularly coming from a guy who was not known to be one of the joy boys of the faith. Martin Luther had kind of a dour outlook on everything, and we suspect it's because he suffered terribly from hemorrhoids. That will change the way you look at life. Well, that's probably more than you really wanted to know, isn't it? I am full of little bits of historical insight that you might just as soon not know. Don't settle for less when we're designed for more. Go out in courage, knowing that God is already ready to meet you there. No matter where you or I are on the paths of our lives, He is not done. We dare not think He is. Don't settle for less. Know that you are designed for more. Let us pray. Eternal God, with grateful hearts, we come before you, knowing that you stand out there on the cusp of the future, calling us to meet you for tasks we are not aware of yet. So help us to look to you, who will not only call us, but equip us generously for all you want us to do, and keep us always in your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.